I want to talk to you about Amazing Grace, and I knew I would talk about Amazing Grace before I left, and this is going to be, we're going to wrap up this whole series on Grace Without Borders next week, and then we're going to go into a thing, a series called Regifting, and you'll be doing some of that. I'm sure you'll be getting those wonderful Christmas presents that you don't want, but you'll very nicely smile at the person who gave it to you, you know, the socks and the sweaters that light up and stuff like that, and you go like, oh, this is really nice. I can't wait to get rid of that. But you don't say that part. And so you want to regift these things. And so in this sense, it's not because you don't want the gifts that God has given you, but the body of Christ has been given gifts so that they can give them away again. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about regifting our gifts for the world that we live in. And so we're going to go on a series on the gifts of the Spirit. But this is the riches of God's grace. And if you have your Bibles, or you can read up here, or if you need a Bible, there's one in front of you in the pew there. And if you need a Bible at home, just go ahead and take one. We have some other ones up here as well. We want you to have a Bible that you can read. And so if you'll follow with me in Ephesians 1, right through to verse 10, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus. We just talked about or sang about the holiness. The faithful in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great way to open a letter to someone, don't you think? If I sent you a letter like that, you'd think I was nuts. But in that culture at that time, that's exactly what Paul was saying from his heart. And really, when we address one another, we should be addressing them, whoever we're addressing, we should be, without saying it, expressing this. And Paul goes on to say, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. There's no lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. So he had a plan that we would become sons and daughters of Christ, of God the Father, in reflecting Jesus Christ. In accordance with his pleasure and will, this blessed God with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. So he gave his grace through Jesus Christ to us. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The riches of God's grace. The riches. You know, it's so interesting that we live in a country where riches are, you know, kind of determined by the house we live in, the car we drive, the clothes we wear, the food that we eat. The status that we have economically. But we're not talking about this. We're talking about the riches of God's grace. And that encompasses all of it. Sometimes we say, oh God, I need this and I need that. He said, I've already made provision for that. Because if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things, and there's a whole list of them before, all these things will be added to you. So you don't need to beg for them. You just need to receive them. That's part of the holiness presence, is realize that you have a God that supplies all your needs, and he enjoys doing that. But he's not limited to the physical, not limited to the material realm, not limited to the physical realm or the emotional or the spiritual realm. He's not limited whatsoever. These two kids that are the music worship pastors that just traveled around Italy, they're 30 years old. They have two kids that live totally by faith. God put it in their heart to bless the fathers of the nation of Italy, the spiritual fathers. So they out of their own pocket, spent 30,000 euros, which is probably $45,000, and put a big tent meeting together and blessed 45 of these pastors that God directed them to. It was an amazing thing. Out of their own pocket, these kids do not have 30,000 euros, but God, their Father, does. And when you have vision, listen, when you have vision from God, He supplies all you have need of. And we watch that over and over and over again in Italy. He is not limited. And so when we talk about where we're going and envision, we need to believe that God is putting that in our hearts so that we can reach this world, not just Richmond, because Richmond needs to be reached, but British Columbia, Canada, North America, and the world. And He is not limited. He's not limited. And it'll stretch you beyond anything that you've ever been in. But I'll tell you, that's the place to walk, in the holiness and the presence of God. With all wisdom and understanding, with all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will. Isn't that great? He's given us insight into what He wants. His wisdom, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So what He wants is He wants to draw us all together. And when we're in unity, and that's the big thing in Italy, is they say, let's unify the Church of God. And there's a strong Catholic presence, obviously, because Rome is just up the street from Naples, and it's kind of, you know, it's a very stronghold there. There's a lot of legalism in some of the evangelical churches, but there's a freedom. There's this new church for the new generation, for the new nation. And it's a movement of the Holy Spirit. It's moving in the Spirit. And it was so beautiful to be able to just preach and expect God to move in all of these types of services. Of course, I don't speak any Italian, which makes it a little difficult. So I had some interesting challenges. And I'm sure I have challenges here, but I don't hear about them as much. Very gracious. Thank you so much for translating even this. So I have this young guy named Darius, and he's my translator, and he's just a wonderful young guy. And I'm talking about counseling in one of my sessions, and we talked about hurt people, and I used an example from North America about two porcupines in a box, and when they're both sore from poking each other or being poked, then if they roll over, they poke each other, and then in response, they turn back and poke because of all the needles that they have on them. So I'm preaching about the porcupines, and he says, porcupino. At least that's what I thought he said. And it wasn't porcupino, it was porcupino. But I said, porcupino. Because I wanted to, you know, show a little bit of Italian, so porcupino. And then he goes, no. Porcupino, he says, no. Porcupino, he says, don't say that anymore. It's not nice. And I'm thinking, now what did I do? Because he didn't tell me till the next day. I was thinking like, oh man, what did I say? I don't know whether you can translate it into Mandarin or not, but porcupino means porcupine. Porcupino means Pino's Joseph, nickname for Joseph, means Joseph is a pig. That's not a way to warm yourself into the hearts of the people of Italy, especially the Josephs. And so it was just so funny. He just says, don't say that anymore. This amazing grace is what we're all recipients of. We are recipients of amazing grace. And we're going to celebrate Christmas and think about that. But there's a couple of stories here I want to tell you about this amazing grace that we have. And one is John's story. And he was born a long time ago in like 1725. And when he was 11 years old, he went out to sea. In 1744, he was impressed into the service. At that time, that's what they did, on a man of war ship called the Harwich. And so on board, it was intolerable conditions, and he deserted, but was soon recaptured and publicly flogged and demoted from a midshipman to a common seaman. And although he had some early religious instruction from his mother, he'd since given that all up. And on a homeward voyage, while he was attempting to steer into this through this violent storm, he experienced what he referred to as the great deliverance. When all seemed lost and the ship would just surely sink, he said, "Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, if you're really there, do something, intervene, or we're going to die." And later in his cabin, he reflected on what God said, or what he had said, and began to believe that God had addressed him through the storm and that grace had begun to work in his life. The storms of life can bring us into a place where we say, "Hey, God, if you're really there. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home." We sing it often. The world sings it often. It's played on bagpipes all over the world. But it started out as just one man's thoughts about the intervention of God. So that still happens. There's a man that we met. His name is Salvatore. And you can see this picture here is the ghetto of Italy. So we were in Naples. We actually stayed in a place called Castellammare, and south of Naples. But where this is in Campia or Scampia. And it's the roughest place that there is. The drug violence here is unbelievable. It's the international hub for stolen cars from basically Europe and all over North America. And Elaine and I were driven through this parking lot of cars that are being, would you say, modified so that they could be shipped to South Africa. And it's right there out in the street. Like, this is what they're doing. And the police are so corrupt and the government's so corrupt that nobody intervenes. And these cars are all high-end BMWs, Ferraris, every type of car you can imagine. And so this goes on all the time. And the drugs and the mafia are very, very strong in different areas of Italy. And Salvatore grew up in this area. He grew up in this building. There are people that live in this building. The building is totally condemned. It's shut down. They don't charge any rent because nobody really owns it. And they steal. I says, "Do they have power and water?" And they said, "Yeah, they steal it so that they can survive." So can you imagine that's the home to a whole bunch of people created in the image of God? And Salvatore was one of those. And actually in there are some strong Christians, and they come to his church now. But when he was 14 years old, Salvatore, raised in a bit of a, you know, strong Christian place in his family, he just said to his mom and dad, "I'm out of here. I don't want anything more to do with you. You can take your Christianity and your lifestyle. I'm going to go on my own." And so then he got onto the streets, and then he got involved with the mafia. And he was in the whole area of racketeering and enforcing, and then he was into the whole area of drugs and prostitution and enforcing that. And so he was in a world that was just absolutely ugly. And then he kind of made his way up, and there's different levels of the mafia. And so he got up to a place where he was basically white crime, white collar crime. And so he would buy business or create businesses, and that's where they would launder their money through. There was no business, it was just a shell. And so he did that for quite a few years, and he was living very high. He had everything. He got married and he had a couple of children, and he still continued on in this lifestyle. And then Christ came, and he just realized his need for Christ. People were praying for him. And so he gave his life to Christ. And of course, you have to change careers. You know, because he was making lots of money, but he wasn't making it right. And so what he did is he went to all his mob friends and the people he worked with in the mafia, and he said, "I got something to tell you." And they said, "What?" And he says, "I'm now a Christian and I can't do this anymore." And he knew that he could be killed right on the spot because he knows so much. And he says, I can't do this and I want to follow Jesus." And they said, "You're crazy. you're crazy, get away from us so we don't catch this. And so they didn't kill him, and they let him go. And then he was looking, you know, for honest work, and so God pulled him out in Naples, in the whole area where he was working, and took him north into Italy for 6 months. And during that 6 months, there was a gang war between the families that had power over that particular area, and every one of the people that could harm him were killed, except two people. Well, he was gone for that 6 months. And when he came back, he talked to those two people and talked to them about Christ. And God called him to pastor a church in this area. And so he set up a little church, a church plant. He doesn't have a master's degree or a doctorate. He has a conviction in his heart. He's learning still about pastoring. He's learning still about theology. But I'll tell you something. He knows about the power of God. He knows about living by faith. He knows that God heals and sets people free. He has raised people from the dead. He has been in a situation. He hasn't raised them from the dead, but he's been in situations where God has reached down and touched somebody and brought them to life. He knows the power of God. He knows the holiness of God. He knows the beauty of God in the midst of something very, very ugly. And if you show the next picture, he and his wife Anna have this little tiny, horrible little building that they pastor from, and then they have this heart to open up a food bank. Like our food bank that we're gonna sponsor here in the Christmas season, because those people in that apartment block and the other apartment blocks there have nothing. And so they have some connections, and so here they are loading food into the truck to take it to minister to those people who have need. And really, it's a garage. And they had to move stuff because the building that they're renting had a flood in it, and it flooded all everything. And they are so positive. They are so excited about being able to minister to people. And Elaine was so excited to stand in this garage because Elaine's heart is in this whole area of ministering to the poor and those in need. And for years, she worked with the Salvation Army in the area of food banks and soup kitchens. And so we really connected, and this his testimony is powerful and reflects. And he is right in, well, if there's gates of hell, their hinges are right there. And he's walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we were privileged to stand in his presence and watch God move. So, my roots are Sicily, which was really interesting. As soon as I mentioned my name is Caruso, mamma mia, everybody loved me. I met two families of Carusos in a couple of the churches. I don't know whether they were related or not. Doesn't matter. You know, they look like my relatives. So we were all related, and we all celebrated, even though my name probably isn't Caruso anyway. It's probably Gelasso or Yolasso or something like that, and we'll find out more about that out as we go back again. But because my roots are Sicilian, and we were like a seven-hour drive from Sicily, some of the pastors that came to the conference were from Sicily. And so I met, the next slide there, I met Pastor Nicola. And Pastor Nicola's story is one of amazing grace. Because you see, he was a police chief in a city of Catania, Sicily, and he has a church about the same size as ours, 500-600 people. Remember that 80% unemployment, and so for 30 years he was the police chief who fought the mafia. Literally shot them fist to fist And now he's the pastor of a church that runs a rehab center for drug and alcohol and messed up people. And most of the people that come through the rehab center in Catania are mob people that he used to shoot, or they'd shoot him. And he's their pastor now. And one of the guys is a former mob boss, an Italian mob godfather type guy. And he's going through rehab, and he's given his life to Christ. And Pastor Nicola can't wait till he gets through the program because he's bringing him on staff. Would that ever go over, right, board? Hey, I got this guy that just robbed the bank downtown, shot a couple of people. He'd be out of rehab in a couple of weeks. Let's put him in the board. His name's Caruso. He has a publishing company there. So he publishes books from Canada and, you know, North America. And so I gave him my transcript for my book and said, use it for ministry in Italy. We don't want anything for it. Just go ahead and translate it. So we can equip the pastors there. We need to understand that God is moving in a powerful way. This man has laid down his life to try to rid the whole Italian area of this crime and corruption. Now he's doing it from a different way, with a different power, with a different authority. And God is doing some amazing things in his life and through the life of all the leadership that's there. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. And so Elaine and I have been invited back to Sicily. Mamma mia. We get to go back to Sicily someday. We get to go to Bari. We had so many invitations that we'd have to live over there. We're not going to live over there. I mean, I like the pizza and I like the pasta and that, but, you know, I do kind of like my home too, and I love being here. I missed you. We really missed you, both Elaine and I. And many of you slept through my sermons because of the time change. I'm excited that God showed me this ministry that is happening to my relatives in the area of Sicily. I don't even know them yet. But God is reaching out. That's something I want to encourage you in, his amazing grace, that there are people in all of your countries, all of your home countries, that have a burden to see people come to freedom in Jesus Christ. We need to remember that we are recipients of amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And John Newton knew that. He knew that when he was plying the waters with those slave ships, that he was taking human cargo in bondage to be sold and used in an image that wasn't created by God. And God intervened in his life. Salvatore was doing the same thing. And Nicola was on the other side trying to bring some stability into a society, but with really limited resources because the government and the police had big infiltrations of the mafia in them as well. But now he's got the backing of heaven, and his heart is to just move and touch people's lives. And he is on board with this, a new church for a new generation, for a new nation. I love that vision. So they all know that God intervened with amazing grace and saved a wretch like them. I was once lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. Can I have the team come back up, please? And then somebody's kind of taken Amazing Grace and added a little bit to it, which I believe is an amazing way to continue and add more power even to this message. My chains are gone. My chains are gone. What a good reflection of those slave ships. My chains are gone. I've been set free. I've been set free. Salvatore was set free from the mafia. And when you get into the mafia and you get into crime and you get into sin, sometimes the strength of the chains are so much that you don't feel you can get free. Salvatore got free and turned to the power of God and started to minister in people's lives with that anointing and that holiness. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. We're bought with a price, people. It's not our own. We're bought with a price. Jesus Christ chose each one of you and the generations before us and the generations to come, and not just in North America, but all over this world. And paid a debt that we could not pay so that we can be free in Him. Free. When I was in Holland, there was such a respect and love for the Canadian people, especially because they and we as a nation saw their bondage and laid down our lives. Many, many Canadians, many of my dad's friends, many of his troops, and thousands of Canadians saw the need for Holland to be set free, and other countries as well, but my connection's Holland. And they ransomed the freedom. And we went there, we were embraced with that kind of responsive love. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. It's a good flood to be in. You need to, you just need to get in up to your neck, as it talks about in Isaiah. You walk in and you're up to your ankles. You walk in, you're up to your knees. You walk in a little further. I think it's Isaiah. And you walk in and it's up to your waist. And pretty soon, you can't touch the bottom. That's what mercy's all about. That's what grace is all about. Go ahead and just start floating down the river, totally out of control in your life, fully in control of His, or Him in control of yours. Unending love. No stop, no conditions. It's so beautiful because we can experience that here, but when we go home to be with Jesus, we're going to experience that forever. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I'd like you to stand with me. Thank you so much for the privilege of being your pastors. We feel that that is a reflection of the grace of God in our lives. We feel honored to be your pastors. We feel honored to work with the team of leaders that we have here because they ran the ministry of the church and ministered to every one of you very, very, very well. And I'm so pleased that we have such quality leaders in our assembly because you are valuable and God wants the best for you. And so I am so thankful for not only our church, but our daycare. I was so impressed with what God has been doing in our daycare ministry as well. Even on Friday night, there was 600 people here or so. I know a lot of pizza got eaten anyway. And it was just beautiful because it was an opportunity to see Jesus work in a whole bunch of little ages of beautiful children created in His image. We're going to sing this song, but before we do, I want you to say this prayer with me. Because, you know, we're going to give gifts here pretty soon. Because it's Christmas is coming, and we'll give gifts, and like I said, some of them will be going to somebody else soon, because we may not need them or may not like them or whatever. But I'll tell you about a gift right now that you can receive. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's a gift. It's the most important gift you'll ever receive in your whole entire life, and it's salvation through Jesus Christ. And it costs way more than anything you could ever buy in any of the stores anywhere in the world. It cost Jesus his life. And so he went to the cross so that you could receive this gift and be in right standing with God the Father. So I'm going to ask you to say this prayer out with me aloud. If you've never said this before, then I'd like you to connect with me or one of the pastors in our church here. Maybe you're just new here, so our pastors, can you just put your hands up? Pastor Stephen, Pastor Dan, is Pastor Dan around? Oh, I see that hand, hallelujah. Pastor Randy's here. Pastor Tricia is probably working with the children. And then Elaine and I. And then there's board members. Board members, put your hands up. I want some contact points. Board members and their spouses, put your hands up. You see, it's really important that when you say this, that you tell someone. So I want you to say this prayer, and then I want you to say it with your heart. So you can say it out loud, and if you say it out loud, all of us do, then it makes it more comfortable for somebody to say it the first time. So just follow me. Jesus, I love you so much that you would consider me worthy to die for. That you would, through your Father, choose to come and live like a human person and go through all the things that we are exposed to here because you love us. So I ask, Lord, that you would forgive my sins, and I want to accept your salvation gift. I want my life to change. I want you to be my best friend. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my guide through this world. So right now, I give my life to you. And I receive your love, your holiness, and I give you praise for this and thanks in Jesus' name.